Excuse me, Joanna, are the documents of paper going to be kept here?
I'm going to type it up when you can use it.
Either way, I'll send that.
To that end, I guess one of the things moving forward, Grace, and this is something that the leadership team and I have worked out, when we set an agenda together for our leadership team meeting, and then we take notes on a wiki, which are instantaneous, and really spell out who's going to be doing what and what are the timelines, and then it's posted for all of us to come back and look at. And that's something easy enough that I could set up for the board through committee so that everyone has read rights to it based on the format that Joanne just shared or one that you used to use, which would be pretty straightforward, and we could actually do it right there. Not to worry about, I got to do those notes. Usually Pat and I are taking notes during the meetings anyway, so we can take turns just throw them up on the wiki and everyone can get a quick email and say, you know, here's what's going on, so at least there's that loop part.
So at the end of the committee meeting, there's some wiki that every other board member could go read?
Cool. And I would send you an email and say, hey, this just got updated to the wiki, and you can go read.
So somebody who's not on Facilities Command Finance could read it and say, well, wow, I have some real opinions on that, and they would just call Mark and say, you know, can you give me this?
If that's what, you know, moving forward as far as a question and answer, or, again, knowing that that's what the chair is going to report out to the public, I'll leave it to Joanne to decide, you know, to kind of tell you which way you should go as far as discussions.
My very strong feeling that most of what you discuss in committee should be kept in committee until it's ready to be supported. Because if you, that's one of the benefits of having a committee system, that you can talk about things quietly, discuss them, come to whatever conclusion, then you report out, and then the community hears, and then you can get their input. But you can have some quiet time before you get to the community. I like that system.
What do you think, Mark? Well, there still has to be an intermediate step where...
Well, the intermediate step would be there needs to be a longer period of time between when something comes out of committee and when it's voted on. Usually it comes out of committee and does it pretty much end up hitting the agenda pretty quickly.
Oh. You have to keep the business of the district.
When you said that you have committees...
2 weeks prior to the board.
That sounds like a lot of time for the Board of Education to get that. But this way you would get information. And if that's one of the goals, then I think I would suggest pilot. Do it for 3 months. And then see what happens in March. Review, is this working? Can we improve it?
I think that we're generalizing what is, I think, a very specific issue. I think 98% of this issue is really around the budget. There just isn't that much happening the rest of the year. I mean, all right, today's discussion on the waste treatment plant, I doubt if the rest of the committee really care that much about the nitty-gritty of that kind of... I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets discussed.
Well, yeah, that's what I was driving at before.
It's all back to the budget.
It's timing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, issues with the YMCA.
Right.
You'll wait until the next meeting to discuss, you know, what's happening, and then we can all give our input.
Right, and those things were brought, you know, to the public, right? We brought all those things out.
So in most subjects, I think it's a non-issue. But the budget, where things are moving quickly...
That's the problem.
We need...
I don't know how to solve that. Things are happening sometimes on an hourly, sometimes two or three times a day. Pat, we call it
at the end.
There were changes.
Yeah.
Several times a day, things were moving. You know, this just came out. Okay, the governor said this.
It was really bad this year.
Yeah, it was bad. But it's always bad. This year was especially bad. But it's always bad.
And there's nothing bad across the state, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody had to make a decision in 4 days, and that's
right.
I
don't know what you do.
We had three worst-case scenarios, and none of them
much worse
panned out, and the worst-case scenario is so much worse than the worst. I mean, so let's hope it's not going to be the same this year.
But even in previous years, it was better. But my observation is everybody outside of the Finance Committee in previous years is always unhappy with the budgeting.
Well, and it wasn't
and
only finance.
Itself.
It wasn't only finance, because I think the same thing happened with communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, we were working in one direction on communication, and then other board members were calling Pat and saying, no, do something different, and, you know, we were going in a million directions with that, too. So I don't want to just pick on finance. It's just it's the nature of the problem.
Right. But honestly, I think the budget time is,
yeah,
it is problematic.
Yeah.
When I was not on the finance committee before, back in, you know, three, four years ago, I was also frustrated that, you know, things were
made. Oh, maybe it was you that I was thinking.
Might have been. Decisions were made, and I made the point then that some things should be done in committee, but there were some items that were really for the board as a whole. Some things just really need to be decided by the board.
But I think that's a good idea, and if Kevin's suggestion works, that would be great. Because another issue was the policy manual. It took us months to get that done, and a lot of that was because, you know, we meet so infrequently. Whereas if we had a vehicle to communicate what had actually gone on in the community meetings, all of the members of the board could have been more up to speed on it. We would have been much more ready to make a decision on whether or not we were going to, you know, go. How many first readings did we have? I mean, it must have been like three different meetings. So I think it would facilitate our decision making as well.
Well, and another frustration with the budget was that I know last year this happened, where we would take a consensus of the board at a board meeting on a theoretical issue, say the cap, you know, should we go to cap? And then afterward, it was still being lobbied. Like, you know, we need to, like, once something gets voted on, once it's voted on, and, you know, the nine members of the board have weighed in, and there's a consensus vote, then it's done.
How was it being lobbied?
Yeah, how would it be voted on? I mean,
it was voted on at a board meeting.
We voted to go to CAP?
Yes. We voted on whether we should or shouldn't go to CAP.
And then somebody from the audience got up to speak about adding additional teachers, and the board started discussing it again,
mm-hmm.
and then we voted to go over CAP.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Apply for the waiver. That was
apply for the waiver. But then, like, the day after, there were board members still saying, oh, no, we shouldn't apply for the waiver. And so things like that should not happen. You know, once it's voted on by the board.
Right, but that's not a process issue. That's just individual members who, you know, just can't accept the decision and move on.
Yeah.
I don't know how you address that. That doesn't sound like a process issue. I mean, it sounds like you just have individual members who...
Yeah, as long as the individual members aren't on the finance committee, you know.
Well, let me get back to you. We're not going to solve individual issues. Do you need at least another?
I have a concern about number two.
Okay.
To me, it's very, very subjective. You know. All board members feel that they're, you know, what if one board member feels that they're not in the loop?
Well, you know what? What if we change this? What if we wrote it down to improve communication on the board? So that kind of cleans it up a little bit.
Well, this is okay. I mean, it's a goal.
Yeah.
We don't all get die if we don't get there. So if we strive for all, if we get to 8 out of 9, we call it pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a goal. Right? You have to have lofty goals.
I don't know if it's appropriate for board goals, but in our district statement and in our mission statement on district goals, we touch on student achievement quite a bit, and the board business is time-consuming and a lot of minutia. Would it be appropriate to have a board goal tied back to just being in touch with student achievement and ensuring that nobody's falling through the cracks? I just want to make sure that the board stays in touch with how kids are performing throughout the year, not just when the NJS scores come out.
So the goal is not about improving student achievement, because that's a different kind of goal, but it's the board, it's a communication, information goal.
Yeah, being very familiar with where we're at, in touch with where we're at, if there's any interventions happening or any policy changes.
So the board will be in touch with, but what's happening in the areas of student achievement?
Informed of how our students are achieving throughout the school year.
Okay.
It's a suggestion.
I put it out in the form about student achievement results.
Yeah, I mean, as it stands now, we have the annual report that Bobby just did on NJAS, which is very good, but it seems, just being at board meetings for about a year now, that's when it comes up, is that annual report, and I think it would certainly...
And you would like it more often? You would like more information?
Yeah, at some point.
And I think this links right in to the strategic plan, which is going to talk about student achievement, and so you'll be getting reports on a monthly basis, so I think that links right in.
Is there a way to measure student achievement more regularly, you know, without a test like that to...
Well, you would ask the expert.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've actually pushed to the professional learning community the assessment cycle with our staff, and that's what they're basing their changes in instruction, what we need to do as we're rewriting curriculum to the new standards. They're really kind of doing what is like an action research process. So without one of the problems with the assessment cycles, we have to make sure that we put out any way that you would know who they really are. So we'll have to make it generic to you, say second grade, here's a goal the second grade teachers have, and this is what they're doing to get there. And then I can report out on that, but not enough for you to drill down to every classroom to give it at a grade.
Mm-hmm. Like in the booklets that we got, and we've all read this, but I'm just rereading it, and the goal area one, we have two goals relating to student achievement. CCSD will utilize comprehensive assessments to ensure that students perform at or above our DFG on NJAS. So it references NJAS, which we do get reporting on, but one of our goals is to utilize comprehensive assessments. You know, what are those? Are they?
And really, the principals and the directors have pushed for SMART goals this year, where they're measurable, and that's what we're going to be looking to bring back to the board. So I'll be able to report out on that.
That's great stuff.
And the next one, which I think is a really good one, is CTSD will identify individual student needs and provide appropriate programs to maximize student learning. I think they're good goals, and I would just look to find ways to be more in touch with them throughout the year.
Right, and as we're moving into the success program, trying to get good intel from when we recognize which students fell into a basic skills, success, or a general ed program, where they are hopefully making progress out of certain areas.
And the RTI initiative, right.
Or kind of... Which is going to be a big in-service for our staff in February. I can do that.
Is there a proposal? Do you want to have a goal about evaluating the superintendent in a timely manner, or completing the...
Why? Do we have a problem with that? Isn't that a requirement?
They're doing their own work. They did my homework fine.
Isn't it the law?
We need two set requirements, yes.
Okay.
Should I put it down?
I mean, it's implied that we're going to follow the law.
Well, there's another one about professional development. I don't know if it would fall into something that Kevin just talked about, or did you talk about professional development for the board?
No, this would be the professional development
for
the board.
So, we did our evaluation of the superintendent last year.
Yeah, we did.
And we did it in a timely fashion.
Right.
It was their own evaluation.
Well, it's a mandate. It's not a goal, right?
It is a mandate.
Why would we have a goal that's a mandate?
Well,
if you don't make a mandate, you lose QTAC points, which could be a goal. It was their own homework that they did.
When's our next QTAC?
Hopefully it's
7 years.
7 years? Okay.
Oh, we'll
pause it long.
Okay, is there anything else? Okay, good. Going. I have one more thing to do, and that is code of ethics. Kathy, do you want to take this?
Sure.
All right.
I think we can set this thing while you're there.
Oh, pick it up, certainly.
Boy, it sounds like Christmas.
Okay, so this
is I've got passes on ethics. You said for 5 years you discussed the code of ethics annually. And I know you discussed a code at each meeting, so that's great. So, I'm just going to go through this quick case since you're doing some of it. This, on the right-hand side, there are a couple cases. John, you hear, I'm sure you've heard Cusack now, many times. On the right-hand side, in the purple case, you'll see the government review form for Cusack. And on page, on the second page, number 3, it says the school board annually discusses the code of ethics for school board members, and the school board memorializes that discussion. That's what we're, what we're doing right now, meet your discussion partner. The cream cases have the actual code of ethics. And since you discussed them at every board meeting, we won't have to go over them. But they are all here.
Grace, you're going to do January?
I'm sorry.
Would you like to?
Yeah. If you were supposed to do.
I'll be feeling much more ethical.
Thank you, Grace.
New Year's resolution?
So Grace, you're going to do this at the January meeting?
Sure. Just, you know what, I don't know which ones have been done and which ones haven't, so I just need to.
I'll get you that information.
All right, if you look at the gray sheet and the orange sheet behind it,
I have another idea.
You take those out. This is where things get a little complicated. According to the School Ethics Act, a member of the immediate family is a spouse or dependent child of a school official residing in the same household. And a relative is the spouse, natural, or adopted child, parent or sibling of a school official. So, if you have a relative, does anybody have a relative that works in the school district? No.
Substitute teaching.
I don't think that counts. You know what?
No.
If you do, if your spouse or relative was a regular teacher in the school district, you could not evaluate the teacher. Well, he's substitute teacher. And because if you have a relative working in the district, you can't evaluate the student. If you have a financial involvement, any situation where there's a financial involvement, the suggestion is to excuse yourself from the discussion. Do not discuss or vote on that involvement. If you have someone with a personal involvement, the same thing. If you have a poor appointment, you should not participate. You turn the page over. A lot of officers, and it doesn't look like anybody has any, come with family members that work in the school district that you can't then negotiate. This doesn't affect you. Immediate family, emancipated child, siblings, or parents, if they work and they're in the union, you cannot negotiate with that union. If you are a teacher, if you yourself are a teacher in another district and are a union member, you can participate in negotiations until the negotiations are ended. Once the negotiations are concluded and there's a memorandum of agreement and a salary scale, then you can be brought up to date on that and you can vote, but you can't participate until that point. Now, this is where it gets real tricky. If you look at the orange sheet, remember we said before that a relative is a spouse, natural, adopted child, parent, or sibling for the ethics, as far as the ethics commission is concerned. In nepotism, there's a nepotism there, which you have policy on. a relative is a spouse, sibling, unique partner, domestic partner, parent, child, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, grandparent, grandchild, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, step-parent, step-child, it goes on and on and on. And so you have to have a nepotism policy that, that protects you. And in that respect, hiring and negotiation. But you, you're not affected in any way, because you don't have anyone in either of those categories. So let's move on to...
Does that apply, like, for summer help if we brought somebody in to paint?
No, not part-time.
Anyone who would be covered by the negotiated agreement would fall under that. So summer employees are not covered by the negotiated agreement.
All right, if you look on the right-hand side, there's green pages that say theory into practice. And I find that this makes the most sense because when we talk about code of ethics, it's all very esoteric. But when we talk about theory into practice, it's much more what we do. And most of this is just plain common sense. So let me ask you a couple of these. On the first page, what about the first one? A board member visiting schools to check on the technology upgrade. Is that ethical or against the code of ethics?
Did they call ahead?
Well, not only call ahead and get permission of the superintendent, and then if the superintendent says it's fine, then it's fine. But no, in this scenario, they didn't call ahead, they just went ahead, and so it wouldn't be fine. You don't belong in the school. John, that might be good news for you.
Okay.
You know that you don't belong in the school. You have no authority other than sitting at a board meeting. So you can't walk into the school, you can't say, I want this or that, or anything like that. I bet you do. How about the third one down? The board president dropping by the superintendent's office every day while the superintendent is on vacation, just to see that everything is running smoothly.
I can't do that anymore.
No.
I've got a couple of
can't sit on his desk with your feet.
And the last one, walk your chair. The chair of the finance committee insists on reviewing all long-distance phone calls for the district with the VA prior to every board meeting.
I think that would be a little inappropriate.
So I'm sorry.
I think that would be a little inappropriate.
I think so too. I think that would be drilling too deep. Okay, let's go to the next page two. The board president, we keep picking on the board president, meeting with the guidance counselor to ask whether Nathan Charles can get into National Honor Society. No, you know it's not the right thing to do. How about the third one down? A board member who asks to serve as an advocate for his brother and sister-in-law when they meet with the child 17 to discuss their daughter's IEP. It would be using your abusive power, using your power for personal gain. On page three, the board is concerned now how a teacher is being remediated and asks for updates on progress on the improvement plan filed in the teacher's personnel file.
Mm.
Yes. You, by the way, can see the personnel file if you're making an employment decision. So around April, May, you can look at the personnel file, or at least the evaluation component of the personnel file. But only if you're making an employment decision, so someone's up to 10. But in general, you can't take time. How about the personnel committee sets up a process that enables certain staff members to bring issues directly to them in order to clear the air and improve morale.
No.
The superintendent is never cut out of the loop. it's the superintendent who deals with staff, not board members. Page four. A board member writes up an evaluation of his children's teachers who he believes are not performing up to speed and gives them to the principal.
Capacity as a parent. He doesn't give
them. Okay, so now we're talking about the difference between a parent and a board member.
He can't stamp it at the bottom, board member, but.
Exactly. But he could say, as a parent, I'm not happy with Ms. Jones.
Absolutely.
He's not doing a good job, and I'm following chain of command to complain. But as a board member, you have no ability to write anybody else. And how about the last one on this page? A board member talks to the board attorney and directs them to make certain changes in the superintendent's contract. Now, the governor won't let anybody. By the way, on Monday night, I'm going to Parsippany. If you've been reading the newspaper, the situation is Parsippany. It's not going to be a fun night. On page five, the chair of the negotiating committee, without the authorization of the board, talking privately to the union leadership of that contract line. The correct answer is no, not allowed. This happened in one of my districts, and the board president was new and wanted to solve the problems and thought talking offline to the union leadership would be great. Didn't tell the board, just went ahead and did it, and was found guilty of ethic violation, which is very embarrassing.
What would those discussions are restricted only to formal?
Well, first of all, yes, you're right. If there's negotiations, there's a negotiating team that represents the board, and they can have whatever discussion they want. Secondly, if the board president did want to talk to the union, as long as he got the approval of the board, then in this case, the board didn't know anything about it.
So if that member had discussed it with the board and been given permission, it would be permissible?
It would be permissible under certain circumstances. The thing is that what happens if the board president and the chair and the head of the union discussing and reached an agreement, but there was no board team that was in agreement. And there can't be a memorandum of agreement. You have to have more than one person. So it's a whole tricky situation. And how about the last one? This is my favorite one because this is the newest problem that we're seeing. A board member during executive session texting confidential information to a member of the public who's waiting outside so that he or she will be able to ask specific questions of the board during the public comment session. Now, I'm telling you that you don't have big problems. This is a board with big problems. The one right here. And of course, this is inappropriate. You don't share confidential information with anyone. And hopefully, you don't set the board up so that people come in and attack the board here.
These are all true stories?
They're all true stories. We sat down and we go, oh gosh, we laughed and cried.
Do you want to add another one?
Yeah.
The first meeting I went to on the Personnel Negotiations Committee, I had just been elected to the board.
Yes.
And we reviewed the superintendent's evaluation, which she had not received yet. Right? The Personnel Committee reviewed the superintendent's evaluation, and a request from a couple of principals in the district. All right. 1 or 2 days later, the superintendent got a phone call from a reporter from the Hunterdon Democrat asking the superintendent to comment on her evaluation.
Oh, no.
The superintendent said she couldn't because she hadn't seen the evaluation yet. So the reporter from the newspaper said, well, I'll fax you a copy.
Oh, no. You are kidding.
I wish I was.
Oh, that's a confidential document that is shared with no one.
So can we assume all of these are ethics violations, all of these examples?
No, some of them are okay. Okay. Some of them are okay. You know, as I said, it's common sense. Much of it is just common sense.
Some of it is common sense, but some of it is gray areas.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're charged with ensuring the schools are well run, but you know, a lot of times that's difficult to do with that.
Okay.
I mean, it's a fine line.
It's a fine line. You're right. It's a gray area. If you look in this packet, there's a white sheet that says it's now to be a complete There's one of the drawings here for any time, and they give it a pass, and she will hold it for you to keep after you. Acknowledgement of history. What have I done right?
The last sheet on the right. Joanne, can you talk a little bit about the training requirements for all board members?
Yes.
Especially for John, who just came on the board.
Well, John doesn't actually have any requirements. If you're elected to the board, you have to take new board member orientation. But if you're appointed, you don't have to take it until you're re-elected in April. So you're okay, John. Everybody else has to take training in your second year, your third year, and your fourth year. The new board member orientation is a full-day training, so you're not in school. The other training is 2 or 3 hours. And come January, it will be available on the web. It's not available as yet, but it will be available on the web. So if you haven't taken it, it's been all over the place. If you haven't taken your training yet, you'll be able to, it costs $50. Other training is free. To come in person, it's free. But on the webinar, through the web, it's $50. And you can take it in your own home. So, yes, it'll be a little easier for you.
And I just encourage the board not to worry about the $50 because we have a $2,000 credit that we haven't used yet.
Oh, great.
We can doll it up. We can sell it for the school board convention.
Good.
So don't worry about someone who would, I mean, we're actually in pretty good shape. A lot of people took their training on.
You want this for?
No, I don't need that. I don't think that's the right evaluation. I looked at it, this was one from last year.
So I'm glad you asked this in the form that you looked up at the committee.
Let me write that down. I'll send you the committee report form and the professional development form. Okay. Is there anything else?
I think you heard it mentioned earlier, that we're going to try to use January 10th, which is the slated committee meeting, to be a full meeting of the Board of Education, right back here, to discuss 3 items. One is solar. Kevin Fenombrino, our architect director, will be present. We'd like to discuss among school boards the pay-to-participate model, which the board would want to have built into the 2011-2012 budget. And the last thing is to discuss the potential consolidation of schools due to decreasing student enrollment. I'll list on the notice that action may be taken, and the only reason for that will be if we decide to authorize any sort of movement on behalf of the solar. The other items really won't be, and that doesn't mean we have to take action if we can. Okay. And also, with that in mind, that this will be the second month in a row that we're taking over the committee meeting night. Have a say day was Monday night. and this full board meeting in January. So I'll ask committee chairs to contact me if they'd like to arrange something, a committee meeting. Thank you.
We also would like to keep the whole board informed about negotiations. I think we did mention the fact that we're in the process of what they call fact-finding. We've had two sessions with the Teachers Association during impact. Is that right, Donna? During impact.
Yes. Mediation.
Yeah, mediation or impact. And now the state has assigned what they call a fact finder to meet with both sides. So the email I saw today is we do have a meeting scheduled for January 18th.
Yeah.
The Personnel Committee Board will be meeting at 6 o'clock on the 18th, and then we'll be meeting with the teachers and the fact finder at 7. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the only meeting that we have scheduled, but they anticipate at least two or three meetings?
That's correct.
Well, they're hoping one meeting.
Two or three.
They haven't been here yet.
Pat, I thought that we had discussed, I don't know if we made a decision, but the possibility of not having Tom Johnson come for those. Didn't we toss that around? Are we proceeding with them?
I thought that was in with the idea that if we went back to the table with the mediator, but that did not happen. When I asked again, that was not something that the association was interested in.
Oh.
So
there was only a full side to go, and there was no way that their side is going to go without their
advice. Okay.
Correct.
Okay,
so
yes.
Okay.
If you remember when we first started negotiations, we thought possibly about going without an mm-hmm. attorney.
Right.
And we asked them that.
And they wanted to have an NJEA rep.
Right.
So because they wanted an NJEA representative, that's why we decided to have an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that there might have been a possibility that, well, one of the teachers' concerns is that the chair of our Personnel and Negotiations Committee is an attorney. Michelle is an attorney. So we suggested the possibility of just Donna and I meeting with the leadership of the association. No NJEA reps, no attorney, and excluding Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Even though she's not a contract lawyer.
Correct. And they said no. They weren't interested in doing that. So, at this point, I really don't know what else we could possibly do.
And I guess we don't know who they're choosing to represent them going forward. Are they going to have Bill Render?
Bill Render's name.
I was going to say Bill Render's name was on the
yeah.
The more Dr. Norman. No.
No.
Now she's
and that first gentleman, Earl.
And they have appointed a fact finder. I think they gave us his name.
Her name, was it a woman?
Oh, it's a woman?
How long does that run, the fact finding segment?
How many hours in one night? How many sessions?
Well, is it a month or is it
open-ended? It goes until impasse, right?
They actually, the first meeting that tells really more closely with them is a mediation, the last-ditch attempt to try to get this thing done.
And is there an outcome or is it just the process?
It's a non-binding recommendation from
the
arbitrator, the fact finder.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the gentleman that was here when we were at mediation, the mediator, if you will, who was appointed by the state. And I believe he said if you go to fact finding, it's normally two or three sessions.
Yeah.
Normally. And that's the first time where we have to pay. Whatever the fact finder costs, half the cost is paid for by the board and the other half by the Teachers Association. So it's going to cost us money. So we'll probably be able to report out at the January board meeting on what happened at the fact finding session. Right? Anything else that needs to be brought up before the board? No. We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
moved by Pat, seconded by...
Can I back you up one thing? When do we assign John to a committee? Is there a timing involved in that? This is the second board meeting?
I've already assigned him to two committees.
Okay.
John had expressed an interest in being in the Facilities and Finance Committee, and considering his background, I thought it would be a perfect fit. However, we have four members on that committee already, and if we put John on that committee, that would be a quorum. We wouldn't be able to do that. So I think I had mentioned to you, John, that you would be on policy and curriculum as well as communication. I believe that those were the two committees. You know, unless someone wants to step down from facilities and finance. And we decided, or I decided, to keep the personnel and policy, personnel and negotiations committee with only three members. That was a committee that Debbie was on. And the reason we're doing that is because we're so far along in negotiations, and people on the committee are familiar with everything. So for the time being, at least, John's on policy and curriculum and
communications.
Okay. Anything else? Well, those in favor?
Well, I have a motion. I have a second.
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 All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Motion carries 6-0. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for coming. School administrators, directors, thank you too for coming. Donna, that was your son?
Yes. He's adorable.
Don't you're fat.
Is there anything else? While you're cracking away the potatoes.
Okay. Yeah, we did the love of the parents last time.
It's private entity. Their business is a